What to read, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I want to speak to you just for a few moments about staying within the perimeters of God's grace. Staying within the perimeters of God's grace. He says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By whom we have access to this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God. It's imperative for us to stay within the perimeters of God's grace. He says we get saved and you can only be saved by grace through faith. Amen. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he tells us in these passages that once we get saved, we need to continue to stand in the center of God's grace. A lot of people get confused about grace and mercy. Mercy is God withholding those things that we deserve. We've sinned, we've failed God, we've come short of the glory of God, and if each one of us got our just recompense, none of us would be here today. Amen. It's only through His long-suffering and His mercy that we are able to be here. Even those that have not been saved, God is being merciful to them. Actually, I have computed and calculated in studying God's holy word after 25 years that God would have the right to kill us instantly the very moment we commit our first sin.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. If we all received our just recompense immediately upon committing a trespass, none of us would be alive today. But God is being merciful to us. He's withholding. He's long-suffering toward us. Those that are lost and in sin, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. He's being long-suffering to those that are lost and in sin. But listen, there's coming a day when the door of mercy will be shut. But grace is receiving good, receiving blessings that we do not deserve. In the first chapter of John, I believe it's about verse 16, there John the apostle in his gospel wrote that we receive from Jesus Christ grace for grace. In other words, every good thing, we receive good things from God. Saved people receive one blessing after another, from one degree of grace to another. Now, most of us, we always go back to that point in time when we got saved, and we say we experienced the grace of God. I was speaking to a man this past week at a car lot. I was bored. No, actually, I like to trade cars. But anyway, I went to a car lot, and this guy came to me. It was by the providence of God. He grew up in the country, in a country church, and he grew up in a church where people were required to experience God's grace. He had gotten involved in some life fellowship church group, I don't know. And I finally just turned to him, and he knew better, and I said, "Why are you where you're at? If you've experienced a work of grace in your heart and life, shouldn't others that you associate with when you go to church have experienced a work of grace in their heart?" We have we live in a time where there's an unregenerated church membership in a lot of churches.
Amen.
And that's wrong.
Amen.
People must be saved before they can be a member of the Lord's church.
Amen.
They must have a work of God's saving grace upon their heart.
Amen.
But after we get saved, we still enjoy and experience God's grace. And in order for us to experience that grace or those blessings in life, a grace that strengthens us, a grace that helps us, a grace that enables us, a grace that empowers us. Each time we experience strength, each time that we get a glimpse of glory, it's by His grace. I believe it was a psalmist that in Psalms 84 and 11, he says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and He will give glory." I believe every person that's experienced grace also will experience glory. Amen. Yeah. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I'm telling you, glory and grace go together. And those of us that have experienced degrees of God's grace, we've also experienced some degrees of His glory. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." People, we experience that here now. Heavenly manna coming down from heaven. He had glimpses of the glory that is to come. We've seen that here this morning. Just a foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. Grace. What are the parameters of God's grace? God's word spells it out real clear. In Isaiah, if you'll turn there in Isaiah 57 and 15, God is speaking and He says, "I am the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." Where does God dwell? He says, "I am high and lofty. I am the holy one. I'm the eternal one. I'm the almighty one." He says, "But I am the one that dwells with those that are of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones." God resisteth the proud, James said, but giveth grace to the humble. If you want to stay within the perimeters of God's grace, you're going to have to humble yourself and stay humble before God. God alone can be met through His terms. He has laid down the guidelines. He has specified the way in which you can come to Him. I contend that people need to acknowledge their guilt. They need to acknowledge their wrong. A lot of people stand outside the perimeters of God's grace because they won't confess their sins, acknowledge their guilt and their transgression. Come on now. Amen. And if you don't humble yourself in the sight of God, God's grace will be nowhere around you. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. Some of you this morning, you can step into the within the guidelines and the perimeters of God's grace if you would just humble yourself today. Sinner friend, some of you here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. If you will yield yourself, if you will humble yourself, if you'll surrender yourself. Some of you today think you're okay living outside of the perimeters of God's grace, but I'm telling you, one of these days is going to catch up with you. And you're going to live in regret of not standing and stepping in to God's grace. There are perimeters, and the perimeters are laid out in God's word very clearly. We need to empty ourselves. We need to acknowledge that we are undeserving of God's grace. God's grace comes to the undeserving. Amen? If you think you're worthy of God's grace, you'll never experience God's grace. God's grace is the unmerited, undeserved favor that is extended to a person. God grants us or gives to us things that we do not deserve. That's grace. Receiving things from God that we don't deserve. And Paul is saying that after we get saved, we can stand in the place where those things come, where we receive good things from God that we do not deserve. But you must get within the perimeters. You must stand within the circumference of where those good things come. And that's by living your life according to God's grace. The Hebrew writer said, "Let us come boldly." In Hebrews 4 and 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and help in time of trouble. Many of us have been there and done that. We know that there are times in our lives where we've come boldly to the throne of grace and received help. Not only are there the perimeters of God's grace, but the provision of God's grace is through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, the Hebrew writer also said in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he said, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Grace! Notice there, Jesus suffered, Jesus died, but praise the name of Jesus. He was highly exalted and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Grace. Grace came through Jesus Christ. You can't receive the grace of God but by Jesus Christ. When you come to the one who was crucified, till you come to the one who was the sacrificial atonement for sin, till you come to the one who was the one that redeems and reconciles us to God, till you come to the one who can regenerate you and transform you, you'll never know the grace of God. People of God enjoy a blessing that's provided through Jesus. We know that that grace comes through him. Amen? Amen? That when we come to the throne of grace, we get something. We receive something. In time of trouble, in time of need, we receive grace. We know it's through Jesus. It's through the name of Jesus. Amen? It's through the name of Jesus. If we ask anything in his name, believing he will give it to us when we correspond our prayers according to the will of Christ, according to for Christ's sake, according to the will of God, he hears us and answers our prayers. Yes, the provision is through Christ. Grace. Grace is the thing that anchors our soul. We're going to sing Amazing Grace in just a few moments. But it provides for us a service. It secures for us a power. It provides us a blessing and a peace that the world knows nothing about. It was grace. It was grace that brought Jesus to this world. He, by the grace of God, it was grace that made him older than his mother, but the same age as his father. Yeah. It was grace that made the Ancient of Days the Infant of Days. It was grace that made him lower than the angels, yet he created the angels. Yeah. Yeah, it was grace, for Jesus was the one that actually delivered the people of Israel from Egyptian bondage, yet he went down into Egypt in his mother's arms. Grace, grace united heaven and earth. Grace is the ladder of Jacob where angels ascend and descend. It's grace, yes, grace caused him, Jesus, to lay aside his glory. Paul wrote to people at Philippi and said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross." Grace. Grace clothed him in humility. Grace emptied him. He emptied himself, amen? Emptied himself and came here to save us and provide us his grace. If you ever experience the provision of grace, it'll be through Jesus Christ. But you must get there through the through the perimeters. You must be within the perimeters of God's grace to enjoy His grace. You must do it through the same attitude of Christ. He humbled Himself, and if you ever get the grace of God, you must humble yourself. I guess of all the people that I ever come in contact with in the world, the saddest group are those that have really been saved and tasted of God's grace, but live outside the perimeters of enjoying the grace as a Christian. Those are some sad people, aren't they? I feel so sorry for them. But you know, they can step back in. If you stepped out of His grace, step back in, amen, and stand there, and God will give you the good that you stand in need of. Get your children, get your family, get your life where God can bless you. And if you get where God, in the center of God's will, He will bless you. Amen. When you get within the perimeters, then we enjoy the properties of His grace. He giveth more grace. James said in James 4 and 6, He giveth more grace. John said, you know, we receive of Him grace for grace. In other words, one wave of grace, one surge of grace after another. Haven't you enjoyed that in life as a Christian? And the grace I received yesterday, the strength, the help, the aid that I needed from God and received from God years ago will not do for the needs of today. Amen. Many times churches get to trying to hold on to grace of yesterday and try to apply it to the grace of today. We need grace from God today. Amen. It comes from the throne of grace. If we ever get grace, it must come from God. The properties of this grace are unlimited, aren't they? Yeah. If you're here today and lost, you can receive grace. They're unlimited. Remember in the fourth chapter of John, he saw the Samaritan woman and said to the woman, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you living water. We have not because we ask not. We have too many unanswered and unasked prayers. Amen. You realize today that this grace is right there, that many times we can step back into God's grace by simply asking Him. Huh? You're lost today. You have never received a work of God's grace upon your soul. Jesus is saying to you the same thing He said to the Samaritan woman. If you would have asked of me, I would have given you living water. And today, if you would just ask of Him, He will give you also the living water you stand in need of. For I contend, like the psalmist in 84th division of Psalm, it is still the Lord that gives grace. Those are the properties of His grace. God is the one that does it. He said, I believe it's in the 9th chapter of Romans, He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion. It's still the Lord that gives grace. Amen. Grace comes to those that need it, those that are humble before Him. Blessing after blessing comes through the blood of Jesus. I'm glad the blood of Jesus is greater than our blunders, aren't you? I like the way Paul put it in the Romans, I believe it's chapter 8. He said, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, there's power in His grace. Power in His grace. You know, Paul, he wrote in the book of Corinthians about a thorn in the flesh, some trouble that he had. He prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan that buffeted him. And God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient. Grace is real. There's been times I've walked into the funeral homes could just sense and feel the presence of God's grace. I've been beside of people dying, even agonizing and suffering in death, going through the valley of the shadow of death. But grace was there and they feared no evil. Because God is always there with His grace. Some of you have gone through some horrific, terrible tragedies, and I've witnessed the presence of God's grace. When you step into the perimeters, all the properties of God's grace apply. The power of God's grace many times is manifested. The glory of God's grace is manifested. I haven't told this in a while, and this is probably an old story for some of you, but I'm going to tell it to some of you that may have never heard it. When Angie was pregnant with Tiffany, we were at the hospital, and she had a long process of delivery. And I was being the best Lamaze helper I could be. You know how that goes. Some of you men do. They were monitoring Tiffany's heart rate. And suddenly her heart rate dropped. And nurses came running in and began to toss Angie back and forth on the hospital bed like a rag doll. One of them said, with great concern in her countenance, I could tell she was in a state of desperation as she called for the doctor. And she said, the umbilical cord is wrapped around her neck. And they were trying to remedy that problem by tossing Angie back and forth upon the bed. I felt so helpless. But see, I knew about the grace of God. And I simply dropped to my knees. And I don't remember all the things that I said. All I remember saying was, Lord, help us. And it wasn't no sooner than I got to my knees that I was lifted up with a surge of God's amazing grace. It filled my heart and lifted me to my feet. I had strength and courage. Somebody asked me one time after I told that story, they said, well, did God tell you that Tiffany would live and your wife would live? No. I just got a surge of grace. And it lifted me to my feet. And I took courage knowing that we were in the hands of the Lord, center of His will, and knew His grace would be there no matter what. My daughter is a child of grace. Many of you have experienced similar situations and circumstances like that where you experienced the power of His grace to rise you above, where he upholds you by His free spirit. I saw this past week at Lifeway a Harley Davidson picture, and underneath it had that 51st division of Psalm, you know. Verse 11, verse 12, where he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, uplift me with thy free spirit. You know, I'm glad I've got more than a Harley to lift me up. Yeah. When I'm down, He lifts me to my feet. When I'm discouraged, He's there and He helps me. When I feel the guilt of sin, He washes me and makes me white as snow. I go through this life standing in His grace, and it's poured out upon me. I've received one blessing after another, one surge of grace after another, and praise God, is going to take me all the way into glory. Yeah. Oh, one of these days, the Lord's going to come with power and great glory. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to walk down the streets of gold. Amen. Yeah. One of these days I'm going to sit down next to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll tell you what I'm going to be saying the whole time. I'm going to be saying grace, grace, grace. I'll walk down that street just saying grace, grace, grace. God's undeserved and unmerited favor. When I stand there in my glorified body, I'm going to cry grace, grace, grace. Holy grace. Completely of grace. I'm going to put my feet off in that river that flows out of the throne of God. And I'm going to sit there with my feet dangling in that river. And I'm going to say, grace, grace, grace. When I stand around the throne of God. Whew, when I see Jesus. When my eyes shall see him as he is. I'm going to holler out, grace, grace. Grace. When he says, here's your mansion. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to say grace. Grace. When I walk on the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, I'm going to say grace. Grace. When I'm standing next to the angels and they're Gabriel and Michael, and we'll string that harp together, baby, and then I'm going to say grace. 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 I'm there because of God's wonderful grace. My grace will melt into glory. Yeah, standing in this grace will one day cause me to stand in the glory of Christ. I'm amazed that I am heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And it's all because of God's saving grace.